Wednesday was a very interesting day. Bad news with Tanaka, great news with some prospects. Clayton Kershaw had his scoreless inning streak stopped, but delivered another gem against the Padres. Welcome to the show. It's Fantasy Baseball Today. It is Friday, July 11th. I'm Adam Azer with Scott White and Al Melchior. So Alcantara's staying up. Jimmy Nelson got promoted. Cleveland called up a catching prospect who's very interesting. Let's talk about it right now on Fantasy Baseball Today. Hello, Scott Now.
Hello. Good morning,
Adam. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Adam.
How are you feeling?
Doing
all right?
Pretty good, yeah. Yeah, I've been, it's going to sound weird, I've been medicating.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Scott doesn't believe in cold medicine until a week and a half after he gets a cold.
Let people, you know, decide for themselves.
No, if people would, that would be scary. I don't want to know what the tweets would be like there. All right, let's get right to it because there's a lot of stuff to talk about. Watch Fantasy Baseball Today at noon Eastern time. We will have John Heyman on, and this is a good show for John Heyman to be on because he'll give us some insight on hopefully some of the prospects, maybe the Colorado outfield, what the Yankees are going to do next. As Masahiro Tanaka has a partially torn UCL, platelet-rich plasma injection and rehab are recommended. So right now we're seeing that Tanaka could be back in 6 weeks, or, you know, he could require Tommy John surgery. So what do you do if you own or maybe want to own Masahiro Tanaka?
What's your feeling, Adam? You think he's going to be back in 6 weeks, or you think he's going to have Tommy John surgery?
Brian Cashman said that it's a small tear.
I know what Brian Cashman
dealt with. I know you know.
Okay.
And they've dealt with tears like this before, and they've been able to avoid Tommy John surgery.
But I feel like, and maybe I'm not read up enough to really say this, but I feel like when there's a tear, it's not like the tear goes away.
I kind of want him to have Tommy John surgery.
Yeah,
as sick as
yeah.
that sounds.
Yeah, like
I would not under any circumstances make a play for Masahiro Tanaka unless I had the absolutely most loaded lineup and I was giving up something that wasn't going to hurt my team at all. But unless it was a no lose situation as a fantasy owner, I want nothing to do with Tanaka. I think the safest thing to do is just hold, though, right?
I agree, and I would have said exactly what you just said, that you know maybe there's a 1 in 100 scenario where there's somebody in your league who could use somebody that's on your bench, and it would make a difference for them, but I think it's very unlikely. So you know, other than that really specific scenario, you just hold them and hope for the best.
Al, where are you ranking Tanaka? Like, if there was that 1 in 100 scenario or whatever, like who would you advise trading him for? Because I struggled with this last night. I updated my rankings after this came out, and I kind of feel like I didn't move him down enough.
You moved him down to 26 behind Gio Gonzalez. Yeah,
I can be certain I'm dropping him much farther than that.
Yeah.
I'd say probably in the 50s.
So, you're taking Arrieta over him. You're taking Stroman over him.
Yeah.
You're taking
Beckett. Oh, no, maybe not Beckett for him. Beckett for you. Bauer, Cashner, John Lackey, Phil Hughes. They're all in Al's top 50.
Yeah, that's about the neighborhood.
Yeah, I mean, look, maybe I'd give up John Lackey to get Tanaka. Because I feel like if you have Lackey, you probably took him pretty late. You probably could get by without him. You stashed Tanaka on the odd chance. It's not even an off chance. On the chance that he comes back in 6 weeks. It could happen.
It's what they're expecting, which is why I haven't dropped him out of the top 30 yet. But,
I mean, they're expecting it, but I'm very pessimistic.
I am, too. I am.
I don't really expect that. And if he does come back, I mean, who's to say?
He'll be effective.
He'll be effective. He'll be back for more than one or two starts.
Yeah.
So.
And they could be out of the race by then and have no incentive to rush him back.
Yeah.
Honestly. I mean, their record when he doesn't pitch is just brutal. So.
Yeah. So, no, I'm fairly certain I'll actually rank Lackey. I'll rank him just ahead of Lackey.
Brandon Phillips has a torn ligament in his thumb and could miss 2 months, or maybe less, maybe about 6 weeks. And Yadier Molina has a torn ligament in his thumb and he could miss 2 months. Let's start with Phillips. Second base replacements that you guys would recommend? Anyone come to mind? Colton Wong stole another base. He's been hot.
How about Arizmendi Alcantara?
That was what I was
He's not eligible there yet, but
he will be very
games.
Soon, yeah.
Yeah, so Alcantara's staying up. Do you guys now like Alcantara better than Colton Wong? I don't remember what you'd said yet. I think one of you picked Wong.
I think it was Scott. Cause,
I picked Wong. Yeah. And you know what? I'm still picking Wong.
Yeah?
Yeah, but they're like right next to each other. Part of that's in the hope Wong does eventually start playing against lefties. But obviously, if you have shortstop concerns too, I mean, maybe that's enough to go with Alcantara instead because he's going to be eligible there and Wong won't.
Jordy Mercer's eligible at second base. What do you guys think of him?
A lot less than I think of Alcantara or Colton Wong.
Would you rather have Enrique Kike Hernandez or Jordy Mercer?
I'd rather have Hernandez.
Scott A?
Yeah, sure.
Would you rather have Alcantara or Wong, your favorite there, or Omar Infante?
Mm.
I would rather have Wong, but that's a recent development.
Yeah, I've got Infante one spot ahead of Wong and Screw Jeanette just ahead of him. So I'm pretty, I'd want Alcantara more than Infante. You know what? I want him more than Jeanette, too.
And the thing is about Brandon Phillips is, like, when he was healthy, he wasn't ranked that far ahead of these players.
No, right, yeah.
He was like one of the most overowned players in fantasy for the kind of production he was providing. And it's not like he was really slumping, at least by his recent standards. The slugging percentage, on-base percentage, they pretty much looked the same as last year.
So if there are no second basemen available and you're looking for a prospect, maybe Robert Refsnyder? Maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
That's the only guy I can think of here as I'm looking at the most added.
You know, Harris Solarte just got recalled. Do you think he's going to play any?
Semi-regularly? Not really.
He started yesterday.
Yeah, I was going to say, he started yesterday, so why?
He started yesterday because Ichiro sat. But I think Ichiro's going to play mostly in the outfield. So. And then Wheeler, I would assume, would play more third base. Kelly Johnson, Brian Roberts, Derek Jeter, Teixeira. I don't really see too much of a spot for him. And when Carlos Beltran comes back from the 7-day concussion DL, I'm not sure Solarte stays.
Mm.
But it was interesting. I was actually going to ask you guys what you thought of Solarte getting called back
up. Do you think Beltran spends just 7 days on the DL?
No idea. No idea. But Solarte did a decent job. He actually hit pretty well in the minors.
Yeah. I still think he's a good hitter. The strikeout rate stayed very strong the whole time he was up, even with when he was slumping. And he has enough pop that I think if he's striking out every sixth at bat or less, in the long run, he's going to be a starting caliber player at the major league level, which would probably make him useful in fantasy.
All right, let's move on to catcher replacements, guys, for Yadier Molina. Who would you recommend? We've kind of been talking about this, but let's look at like one catcher leagues if you lose Molina. First of all, is he droppable in that format?
I'd say so, yeah.
All right, so then you're looking at guys like Kurt Suzuki, Mike Zunino. Let's go points league here, since that's probably the one catcher format. Suzuki, Zunino, Ramos, Darnot, Castro, Russell Martin.
I mean, Ramos and Darnot stand out for me in that crowd.
In that order?
And I have them ranked in points leagues 12th and 13th.
All right, Scott, let's go to deeper leagues here. Maybe Jaso, Pierzynski, Ruiz, Vogt, Chirinos, Avila, Flowers, Iannetta, Castillo, Grandal.
You know it's Vogt. It's Vogt. He probably belongs with that. His ownership percentage doesn't say he's there, but he probably belongs with that first group, actually, the Ramos, Darnot group. I'd take those two over him, but he's up there.
How about Chirinos? Is he second on that list?
I stopped listening after you said Vogt.
All right, you got Jaso, Pierzynski, Ruiz, Chirinos, Avila, Flowers, Iannetta, Castillo, Grandal.
Well, in one catcher leagues, if we're talking a points league.
No. Now we're talking two catcher roto.
Okay. I don't know that Chirinos is second. They're all pretty close.
Jaso, maybe?
I think between him. Oh, Jaso, okay. I'd take Jaso. Tops there, but I think Grandal I'd actually put a little ahead of Chirinos.
Maybe go for the upside play there.
All right, Colorado outfielder Carlos Gonzalez is going to be back tonight. He'll play right field. Milwaukee called up starting pitcher Jimmy Nelson, Marco Estrada to the bullpen. Nelson 10-2 with a 1.46 ERA in the PCL with 32 walks and 114 strikeouts in 111 innings. This, I guess, must have broken late because he wasn't picked up last night in any of my leagues.
I'd like to hear what Al thinks, because I feel like every time we bring up Jimmy Nelson, I end up talking about him.
Yeah.
And you like him quite a bit.
Yeah, I do.
When the rumors were first surfacing and when Estrada was really bad, they had just called up Mike Fiers, who had been great in AAA, and I thought that he'd have a shot, but he's since been optioned back. And obviously here we are with Nelson. So, yeah, that's part of the reason why I didn't have much to say about Nelson before, because I thought he wasn't uncontested as an Estrada replacement. But now that he is here, I think he's here to stay. And I don't know, it's hard not to be wowed by those AAA numbers. And it's hard to think that improvement in control isn't legit given how dramatic it is.
All right, so the weird thing about him right now, he's only eligible as a relief pitcher. So if you are in a points league where that matters, you have to wait 5 starts for him to be starting pitcher eligible. Now, he'll be more valuable as a reliever. I get it. But sometimes you do want that flexibility. So let's talk about some guys you might consider dropping for him. Would you drop Drew Smyly for Jimmy Nelson?
Yeah, I would.
Oh, man, I don't think I would. I don't think I would.
Would you drop Danny Duffy for Jimmy Nelson?
Sure. Yeah, I'd do that.
I would certainly do that.
John Lackey?
No.
No.
Kyle Gibson?
I think I probably would, yeah.
I was a little surprised that you hesitated on it. Because I'm hesitating on it, and I like Gibson more than I really should. So, yeah, I think it'd be hard to do, but I would drop Gibson for Nelson.
Something to say?
Well, I'm just thinking through the Sparps, because Smyly was the only other Sparp of that group. So you got Smyly, obviously.
Chavez. Yeah, I actually thought about that.
I feel
that
like
this
Chavez
morning.
Is ahead of Smyly, so maybe I'm wrong to think that, but for me, he is.
Okay.
So he'd be behind him and Smyly, Gosman. Then you get into like the Carlos Martinez, Ruby De La Rosa pair. Maybe Brandon Workman, closer to that group than not.
So where are you putting Jimmy Nelson?
I think he's probably ahead of those three, even Martinez, but behind Gosman.
All right. Arizmendi Alcantara is going to stay up. He went 4-for-5 with a double, a triple, and a 3 RBI day at the Reds. So must-own?
I wouldn't go quite that far, pretty close. Pretty close. Not in shallow leagues. Not even, I'd say, not a must-own in 12-team points leagues, mixed points leagues.
Mm-hmm. Right, so must-own in, like, the middle infield.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. He's only shortstop eligible right now, will be second base eligible.
So I moved him just behind Suarez. Does that sound right? Because I know how much you like Suarez.
Yeah.
That's ahead of Brad Miller, actually.
Yeah.
In both formats.
It sounds like the right neighborhood. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'll do that ranking adjustment today. I'm not sure where I'm going to put him versus Suarez. I'm guessing I'll probably put him ahead because he offers the stolen base potential that Suarez doesn't. I don't think he has the run-producing potential because of the lineup he's in, Alcantara.
Mm-hmm. All right, Roberto Perez, Cleveland catcher. He was called up. What do you guys think of Roberto Perez?
I would like to know more about him because he put up great numbers in AAA and really not so great numbers any time before this year. So I'm not sure where Perez has come out of, but, maybe it's, Yan Gomes 2.0 where, he sees his unexpected playing time from a more established catcher.
Yeah, is there anything else they could do? Bench Swisher, bench Chisenhall, move Santana back to third to get both bats in the lineup, Gomes and Perez. And Perez did homer yesterday. And should we be taking a shot on a guy like Perez? If you lost Pierzynski, if you lost Molina, if you lost Maurer, we're talking two catcher leagues here. Is he better than, say, Yasmani Grandal?
I mean, just because we don't know what his role is. And frankly, we can't be, because of the more extended track record, we can't be sure that what he did in AAA will translate even closely now in the majors. So I put a bid on him in AL only. That was as far as I went this morning.
All right. let's talk about Clayton Kershaw, shall we?
Sure.
Do you know how damn good Clayton Kershaw is? It's insane. Complete game, 3 hits, 1 run. It was a Chase Headley homer, 1 walk, 11 strikeouts at the Padres. Remember last year, he won the Cy Young. He went 16-9 with a 1.83 ERA. That's incredible. 164 hits in 236 innings, and he struck out 232 batters. And this year, his whip is lower. And it was under 1 last year. It's lower. His walk rate is down. His K rate is up. Do you think you should shop him and maybe try to get, like, the moon for Clayton Kershaw?
The moon? What would be the moon? Mike Trout? I mean, I'd do that.
Would you do that?
Yeah,
you give up Kershaw for Trout?
Yeah.
But
would you give up Kershaw for, like, Felix Hernandez and Anthony Rizzo?
I don't know. I don't think I'd do that because I can't imagine that Rizzo. I mean, Rizzo's very good, but I mean, I usually have a very good first baseman in most leagues, and I don't know that that would be worth it to me.
I'd probably do it. It's probably just enough.
Is Clayton Kershaw that much better than the other elite starting pitchers, Wainwright and Felix Hernandez and Chris Sale, et cetera?
Like, is he in a tier to himself?
Yes. Is he Miguel Cabrera, Mike Trout?
He's I don't think he is quite there. I do feel like there's a definite gap, but it's kind of not like him and then a big gap to the next guy. It's kind of him and then maybe a decent gap, then a little bit of a smaller gap. Like, the gap between Clayton Kershaw and Chris Sale, I feel like, is noticeable, but maybe not between him and Hernandez.
Okay.
As much. There's a gap, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It's not. I don't think he's quite Trout and Cabrera at starting pitcher.
All right, then. What stood out to you guys yesterday? What do you want to talk about? I've been driving the show for 17 minutes, so how about you?
Well, Scott's
what
got
about,
the pad that doesn't have to be opened up. So
yeah, what about Enson Volquez?
He's on my list.
0.90 ERA in his last 4 starts, and then 5 of the last 6 have been awesome. Not a great strikeout rate during that stretch, but one of those games he had like 1K in 8 innings, so it kind of skews it.
Right, complete game yesterday, 1 run at the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm. So and look, we've seen Ray Searage make some magic happen before with A.J. Burnett, Francisco Liriano, James McDonald for a time. So I'm not because he's not the strikeout for any type he used to be, I think the highest point he can get to is like the Kyle Gibson range. But in some leagues, that's definitely useful, and I think he's back to being a streaming option, if nothing else.
I agree with all that 100%.
How about Odrysamir Despaigne, who finally got some Ks yesterday? Despaigne, 7 innings against the Dodgers with 7 strikeouts, 2 runs, and he's allowed 4 runs in 4 starts.
No walks, right?
No walks.
That was weird.
Yeah, and in his previous 2 starts, he had 4 walks, 2 Ks in each of them. Right now, he's got a 1.35 ERA. Would you rather have Despaigne or Volquez?
I'd rather have Volquez.
Me
too. Really don't trust Despaigne. That start really came out of nowhere. With Volquez, the last couple of weeks, I've been kind of seeing him emerge and thinking he, you know, was capable of that kind of start that he turned in against the Cardinals. Despaigne out. I don't think we'll see a lot like this one.
All right, Al. It's your turn to nominate a player.
All right. Well, let's talk about. Let's go down on the farm.
Okay.
Talk about Michael Franco, who's been a multi-hit machine last week or two.
Okay.
And Cody Ashe not really progressing that much as compared to last year. Granted, you know, a lot of time on the DL this season. But I feel like Franco has kind of fallen off the prospect radar just a little bit. I'm not sure that there's a hitter I would rather stash at this point.
About that.
Minor prospect hitter.
Now that Alcantara's up. All right, Michael Franco. We do want to ask John Heyman about him. I'm not sure if we will be able to, but make sure you check that out, Fantasy Baseball Today. Noon Eastern time. Scott Kazmir. Let me say a little something about Scott Kazmir, because he's been tremendous. 7 innings, 3 hits, no runs, 1 walk, 9 strikeouts at the Giants. 2.38 ERA, striking out a bunch of guys. Whip just under 1. There's no questioning, I think, his ability, but Kazmir threw 158 innings last year, his most since 2007. Do you think Scott Kazmir is a sell-high candidate because he won't be able to pitch 200 innings or 180 innings or whatever? Do you think he'll maybe break down or need some rest? Scott Kazmir.
You know, I haven't actively shopped him, but that the thought has occurred to me, especially after the A's made the trade with the Cubs, because while, you know, they said they were looking for depth and, you know, probably didn't want to trust the likes of Chavez and Tommy Malone, you know, in a playoff series, I had to wonder if some of that was Scott Kazmir insurance too, just because of the history of injury with him.
So you wouldn't give him up for Tanaka, obviously.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Would you give him up for Garrett Richards, who also has an innings limit thing?
Yeah, I would consider that, even though there's an innings concern with him. I'm less worried about Richards' health.
Scott was shaking his head like, hell no.
No, I wouldn't. I mean,
hell no, not we won't go.
Not that he's that much better than Richards, but I don't know. I just don't really see it happening. I don't see them like shutting him down, and I don't really see him like slowing down on his own accord. And they may pay for it later, but they may not. You know, they coddle these arms so much, and they still seem to get hurt half the time. So I think for a pitcher as established as Kazmir is, we're probably making too much of that.
All right. Jason Worth went 1-for-5 with a home run at Baltimore. He's batting 400 with 4 home runs. In July, and he has been a 20, more like 25 homer guy 5 of his last 6 seasons. So do you think there's a power surge coming on for Jason Worth?
I'm not really expecting a power surge, although you asked us yesterday on the video show who we saw as a kind of a sleeper power candidate. And Worth was the first one that came to mind just because I think he's capable of it. But I think my strongest expectation for him is like 10 home runs rest of the season. It's not going to be a power surge. It's just going to be steady, helpful production that will include some power.
Here's the tweet of the day from Brian Fischler at Blind Gator. My fantasy starting staff: Tanaka, Jose Fernandez, AJ Griffin, Matt Moore, Patrick Corbin. I hate Tommy John. Yeah, that's a bad pitching staff.
Hate the procedure, not the patient.
Never met Tommy John.
Yeah.
Could be a really nice guy.
He's like the, Al dropped a stat the other day. He's like the fourth.
Oh.
He has like the fourth most strikeouts of any pitcher who's ever had Tommy John surgery.
Is that right?
That is correct, yeah.
Interesting.
Is the fourth most? Did I get that right?
That is right.
Oh,
the fourth.
Wow. Yep. Yeah.
Let's run through some injuries, news, and notes. I want to talk about Cole Calhoun and Eric Hosmer and a lot more in a little bit. Ryan Howard had a big day yesterday. Jose Quintana continues to be the man. Shelby Miller, droppable?
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed.
We've been there.
Beyond droppable at this point. 80% owned.
That's stupid.
You know, I don't know that I mean, probably at some point I did say he was droppable, but then I kind of got back on board with, well, you know, maybe he's worth stashing just in case he's who he was last year and is a prospect, but no, I'm done.
Injuries, news, and notes. Here we go.
Until I'm not.
This actually, to me, is very encouraging that Josh Donaldson is going to participate in the Home Run Derby along with Justin Morneau. I don't really care about Morneau. But Donaldson.
He had a Home Run Derby last night.
He hit a home run.
Other way.
I had been concerned because he had been so bad with 2 home runs and like a 140 batting average since he got hit on the hand in early June. So he homered yesterday. And if he's going to be in the Home Run Derby, that to me says he's healthy.
See, I thought you were going to say, okay, the hand's better now, but now the Home Run Derby's going to screw him up. So.
No. I mean, it could, but I'm encouraged that he's participating. Homer Bailey left yesterday's game with a knee injury, not expected to miss his next start. C.J. Wilson is on the DL with a right ankle sprain after I vouched for him yesterday. Carlos Beltran, 7-day concussion DL. We talked about that. Chris Sale and Anthony Rizzo won the fan vote for the All-Star game. Brett Gardner returned to the Yankees lineup. Billy Hamilton, day-to-day. He came in as a pinch hitter yesterday. Did not start. He's got the hamstring injury, so it doesn't look serious. But this was Cincinnati's lineup yesterday. Mm. Chris Heisey,
Schumacher, Frazier, Brian Pena, Ludwig, Ramon Santiago at second, Cozart, Tucker Barnhart at catcher, and Homer Bailey. And that is terrible. I can't imagine there was a worse lineup, even in San Diego, than that one yesterday.
So how do you look at Kyle Hendricks' start based on that?
That's a good question. And Kyle Hendricks, Cubs starting pitcher, gave up 4 runs, 2 in the first inning over 6 innings. It's not terrible. Major league debut, was sent back down. Major league debut, right?
Yes, it was.
Sent back down to the minors after the game.
The Cubs are doing all kinds of crazy things with their roster right now because of the break. So, you know, they brought up Ferris Bueller and sent him down. Dallas Bueller, of course.
Is Kyle Hendricks worth stashing? He's 4% owned.
NL only, for sure. Yeah.
Ian Desmond was hit on the hand by a pitch. X-rays negative. No timetable. Colby Lewis had the worst start since 1930, according to Matt Snyder, one of our baseball writers who used the Baseball Reference Index. 2 1/3, 13 hits, 13 runs, 11 earned, no walks, 1 strikeout against the Angels.
And I think the previous worst start since 1930 was Miles Michaelis, like 5 days ago. So.
No kidding.
No, I mean, I'm making that up, but it was not that much better than Lewis's start. Yeah.
Philadelphia called up Grady Sizemore. Shane Victorino began a rehab assignment. How about this? Shane Victorino returns. Xander Bogaerts starts sitting, as he did yesterday.
Oh, come on.
Brock Holt to third. The unbelievable Stephen Drew at short. Victorino, Bradley, Betts, Nava, Gomes in outfield.
There was just a report yesterday of Ben Charrington, the Red Sox GM, saying he could see Bogaerts go back to shortstop. So maybe,
that'd be better.
Maybe they're not so much. Maybe they are thinking along those lines of that rearrangement, but with Bogaerts,
that's a much better option.
Bogaerts doesn't use his phone that much in the clubhouse. They like him.
They sent him down before they sent him. Sat him.
I'm not like saying permanently sit, but lose some playing time. More than anyone else in the mix, except for like Nava and Gomes, whatever. Danny Santana is going to start a rehab assignment during the All-Star break. Joe Mauer's not sure when he'll be back from his oblique injury. Probably not when he's first eligible, which is right after the All-Star break. But Alex Gordon expects to be back right after the break. Alan Craig sat yesterday with John Jay in center, Oscar Tavares in right. Hanley Ramirez played shortstop. He'd been DHing. He went 2 for 3 with a steal. 12 steals and 16 attempts this year for Hanley. It's good to see. And then a bunch of base dealers have ankle injuries. Ben Revere, Coco Crisp, and Elvis Andrews. They're day-to-day for now. Michael Saunders left Thursday's game with a back injury. Here's something pretty significant. Jerry's Familia had some arm stiffness, and Terry Collins called it a red flag. Mm. And Collins says he will be cautious with Jerry's Familia. So that probably gives Mejia more of a leash. And I don't know if this means anything, but Neil Ramirez pitched the 9th inning of a tie game, and Hector Rondon pitched the but it was on the road. So I guess it means nothing. Never mind.
By the way, speaking of Hanley, he left with some shoulder soreness. So
did he?
Yeah, he could be out. This is my pet peeve here. Till the break.
Yeah,
which is
the end of the week.
Just a few games.
Well, he's had that shoulder problem, right?
Yeah.
Calf. Shoulder.
Shoulder.
Definitely calf. He's playing very well when he's playing. Hmm. And David Buchanan had a good start for the Phillies, but he got sent down. Cliff Lee on his way back. How about the Angels putting up a 15 spot against Texas? 15-6. A lot to talk about in this game. Cole Calhoun, number four outfielder over the last 28 days in both formats. 4 for 5 with a double, a triple, 4 runs, and an RBI. And since I'm playing Scott White in the Rejects League, I'm just more and more angry that Scott White traded Dustin Ackley for Cole Calhoun before the season even began. But anyway, Calhoun, is he a breakout rising star?
Sure. I mean, star may be going a little far, but yeah, I mean, he was a popular sleeper coming into the season, and now we're seeing why.
You know what he leads all outfielders in over the last 28 days?
That'd be runs scored.
Yeah, by a pretty big margin. I double check on that, but definitely leads it, I think, by 6-7 runs. 29 runs scored, and it makes sense, batting leadoff in front of Trout and Pujols. So Calhoun, top 30 outfielder?
I did just pull him up the rankings. It was right around 30. I'm going to check that right now exactly. But it's, you know, he certainly, you can make the argument.
Yeah, the only thing that keeps him out for me is the playing time concerns, because they don't seem to want to play him against left-handers. Now, maybe that'll change. I think he started against the last one they faced.
He did, yeah.
But
he's batting .273, .313, .455 against lefties.
Yeah. Hopefully it changes.
Calhoun or Billy Hamilton?
Hamilton.
Hamilton, yeah.
Calhoun or Christian Yelich?
I'm going Yelich there too, though. If Calhoun was playing every day, that might change.
Yeah. No, I'm going Calhoun anyway over Yelich. I have him 39th, by the way,
okay,
in points. I've only got Yelich 50th.
Where do you have Calhoun and Roto?
42nd.
Mike Trout, 4-for-5 with a home run. 3 runs scored, 4 RBI. Albert Pujols, 2-for-4 with 2 runs and 2 RBI. Josh Hamilton, double 3 times. I want to talk about Eric Ibar. You know how, Al, you said you're kind of believing in Alcides Escobar?
Yes.
I don't really see a big reason not to believe in Eric Ibar, because he's not really overperforming in anything other than RBI. His powers, he's not a career doubles pace. He might surpass his career high of 10 home runs, but he only has 6 home runs this year. He's driving in so many runs, and he's only doing it with a .271 batting average and runners with runners in scoring position. He's batting .282 on the year. But the big difference is for Ibar, batting 5th and 6th this year, and he's never really done that, not consistently anyway.
Those are all really good points. I still think he finishes more like upper to mid-teens in the rankings rest of the season.
From here on out.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong. I do feel like he's gotten overrated, and I just have a hard time believing, even batting where he is in the order in that lineup, that he will drive in runs like that.
Yeah, some of those things like career high doubles pace, home runs, like altogether it adds up with the RBI. It adds up, and I feel like there's just going to come a cold streak at some point in here that's going to bring those numbers down to size, and he'll still be a okay starter, but it's just a little too much of a perfect storm right now.
Like seeing that, you know, that he's only batting .282 and he's the number 4 shortstop in points and 5 in Roto, I regret dropping him for Brad Miller. Now, how do you guys feel about those two now?
I feel like it's kind of a wash. I don't think it's anything to regret. Okay. Brad Miller could go, you know, go nuts the rest of the season.
Thank you for making me feel better then. Shin-Soo Choo went 1-for-5 with 3 Ks. He's cold again. Adrian Beltre has been the second best third baseman per plate appearance this year, as he went 3-for-4 with a home run. He's batting .341 with 13 home runs. Only Cabrera. Of the top 5, Cabrera, Rendon, Donaldson, Frazier, Beltre, only Cabrera has more fantasy points per plate appearance. I didn't do the calculations for all the others, but I have to imagine Beltre is number 2 there. And how about Jake Smolinski? 3-for-4 with 2 doubles, 2 runs, and 3 RBI, and he's batting like .570 or something like that. Does he matter, Texas outfielder?
I don't think so. I know it's just he's kicked around the minors for a while, and he really kind of fell off of my radar. And I'm just looking at his recent numbers. Better this year, but nah. I think it's just kind of a random hot streak just to begin his major league career.
How about Detroit putting up a 16 spot on the Royals, 16-4? Scott, I know Al talked about Austin Jackson batting leadoff, and we said, you know, yesterday could be really good for him. What's your take on that?
It could be good, but I don't know. I'm worried about his performance just on its own, and especially now that they're nearing a crowded outfield situation when Victor Martinez gets back. He's the best choice to play center field, so maybe that saves him from losing his job. But I think he could lose him and Rogier Davis. I think it's between them who loses the most playing time when everybody's healthy.
Torrey Hunter, 73% owned, 3-for-6 with a home run, 2 runs scored, and 3 RBI, and batting .444 with 3 home runs and 13 runs batted in July. Anything to say about Hunter?
Not really. I think he's kind of settled into who he is in the twilight of his career here. Not a great source of power, but a good enough hitter overall that in the right lineup, certainly when he's hot, he's mixed league startable.
Alcides Escobar stole his 22nd base. Gerard Dyson stole his 17th in only 140 at-bats. And Eric Hosmer is batting .429 with two home runs and six RBI in July. He homered off Drew Smyly and really ruined a very good start for Drew Smyly. Until he gave up that home run, it was like six innings, two runs. So, and no quality start. Did get the win, though, for Smyly. But anyway, Hosmer, who's encouraged by what we're seeing right now?
Not a lot. I mean, the month is young, you know. And I've been saying all along that I'm sort of suspicious about his ability to sustain power over the long haul. So, yeah, I'd like to see a lot more.
But he is well behind his power pace. Sustaining it's one thing, but catching up from a really rough start to the season.
Wow, Scott, I didn't realize how far you had dropped Hosmer. 28th in Roto.
Yeah. That means a deep position.
End points.
Who's right ahead of him? Like Matt
Alan Craig, Brandon Belt, Brian McCann, Lonnie Chisenhall, Mike Napoli, Matt Adams, Mark Trumbo, Michael Morse.
Yeah, I think the only two questionable ones there are Craig and Belt. So, yeah, that's where he belongs. Even if he does have a... Even if you are buying into this, I mean, him and Brandon Belt strike me as very similar players right now.
So that means in a one first baseman league, unless it's like 14 teams or deeper, Hosmer, to you, Scott, is droppable. Is that accurate?
He's on the fringe. First base is going to be most players' utility player. So you go deeper at that position than the others.
Yep, that's true. And I just want to say something about week 16. Personal recommendation to all you fantasy owners out there, if you play in our commissioner product, you can make this happen. Make it a 10-day week and use the rest of week 16 and then actually week 17 to make it one fantasy week instead of just playing 3 days. 3 days is just too fluky. How do you guys feel about that?
I agree. It's just then there's no week 17, and that's weird.
There is no week 17. Yeah, so... That is weird.
It's like an elevator that doesn't go to 13.
Then your playoffs start. Your records are going to be different. You know, like our playoffs typically start in week 20. So, or no, they start in week 21. Mm-hmm. So instead of being like 12-8, mm-hmm. you're going to be 12-7 or whatever it is.
Yeah,
there are only 19 scoring weeks.
From now till the end of the season, your weeks are identified differently from how we officially identify them. So everybody's going to be confused.
You've got to put your thinking caps on, people. Four up, two down, rotation, fringy starting pitchers, bullpen. You know, I want to mention something about the bullpen here. Will Smith was a popular pickup in the Dellin Betances sort of way, and he's been awful since June. He's got his ERA has risen from 0.36 to 3.24 after giving up five earned runs without recording an out yesterday. But just 10 walks, 16 strikeouts, and 16 and a third since June.
Yeah, his overall whip is up to 1.44 now.
Holy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
He's my closer in score sheet. So I'm well aware of his struggles.
Score sheet, does that use this year's stats or last year's stats?
It uses this year's.
Okay, because some of the guys in the office played this sim league that uses last year. Are you in that
one? I'm in that one,
too. Yeah.
Are you both in that one?
Yeah.
How are you guys doing in that one?
We're like a game apart.
Yeah, we're both doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Nice.
Fighting for a playoff spot.
Do you like those better than...
Yes.
Really?
Yes, I do.
Better than score sheet you're saying?
No, better than
the fantasy.
All the leagues we talk about.
You know what?
The normal fantasy.
But I don't know that it's so much the sim rules. I mean, it is fun to like actually set a lineup and, you know, make out a bullpen and all that stuff. That is fun. But it's mostly just about the long-term aspect. Like the Dynasty League I set up, which is just regular fantasy head-to-head points. That's probably my favorite league of all of them. But that has a lot to do with setting up contract terms and being able to trade for the long haul, having a farm system.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what really sets it apart and sets those leagues apart too, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty hardcore. Where are you on that, Al? What are your favorite leagues?
Yeah, I like the sim leagues the best. It's actually what I got started in.
Wow.
I've come around on Roto.
standard roto?
Yeah.
But never head-to-head categories, which you hate.
Oh, no. I despise it.
Why do you guys hate head-to-head categories so much? It's the best.
We talked about this a couple weeks ago.
And we've never talked about it on the air. We're always like, we'll do it tomorrow.
All right, we'll have to try to make it concise. I mean, the reason I don't like it is because it's basically a roto format where you don't get the benefit of a roto strategy where you can adjust your in categories and make adjustments in categories and make trades based on where you're doing well and where you need to catch up and all that. You can't do that in a week. So,
no, I mean you can.
So you're dealing with really small samples in each category with no opportunity to kind of write the ship on a season long basis, because that's
that's not untrue, but it's not completely true. Like, you still could. I need steals. I'm going to trade for this guy. I need batting average. I mean, you could still do that on a weekly basis.
Plus categories, the traditional categories. So many of them are percentages, like ERA and WHIP and batting average, and those can fluctuate so much when confined to such a short period of time.
Right. That's what I was really trying to say. Yeah.
You don't lose progress you gain in a points league because of like one bad day. You still get credit for everything they did before. In a head-to-head categories league, you could be leading in all three of those categories one day, and then it's a bad day, and suddenly you're behind, and you go from what looks like an awesome win to a crushing loss. You go from 7-3 to 3-7 in just one day's time.
But what's so bad about that? I mean, in a points league, you could be leading, and then you have two guys who have terrible starts, and then you lose.
It doesn't seem to happen as often. It happens sometimes. But well, usually when you have a secure lead, that wins in the bag.
I think it's easier to identify a secure lead in a points league than it is in a categories league.
So, yeah, that I guess that's all I'm saying, but that's frustrating, and who wants to be frustrated?
Yeah, I just feel like it's just like a roto league. Like, if you have a good team over the long haul, you'll probably win more categories than you're going to lose, and your record will probably reflect that. There is flukiness to it, just like there's flukiness in any type of head-to-head weekly format where, you could be the points leader and have two games over .500 record. I mean, it happens a lot. So
I hear what you're saying, and I do think it over the long haul, the best teams do win, but the route to get there is just a frustrating one for me, is all I'm saying, and that affects the enjoyment for me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you guys hate the Rejects League. Now I know why it never gets mentioned on the air.
Don't.
All right, four up. Four up, Kendrys Morales has driven in five in his last two games, and he has a double in three straight games, and he's 48% owned. He's been dropped in a lot of leagues. Chase Headley homered off Clayton Kershaw. Colton Wong, 1-for-2 with a run scored and a steal, and all three, Morales, Headley, and Wong, are owned in between 42 and 48% of leagues. And Jason Kipnis, batting .350 in July with no power, but five steals all in the last three games. And anything to say about Morales, Headley, Wong, or Kipnis?
Headley, I mean, I think it's kind of interesting because he has been hitting better of late. I think it's not quite enough to move the needle, but it's enough, for me to notice and just kind of get off of automatic pilot with him and say, well, I'm not really wanting to start him at this point.
Right. It would be nice if he got traded, too. Would you rather own Headley or Moustakas?
Headley.
Yep.
Headley or Josh Harrison?
I'll go Headley there, too.
Yeah, me too.
I have to disagree. If there are waiver wire options,
yeah, I might disagree, too.
You got to go with Harrison now.
Right.
Because as good as Headley's been, Harrison's been even better.
It depends on like why you're picking him up, I think. If you're picking him up because you need a one-week fill-in, yeah, I'm taking Harrison. But I don't trust Harrison to be this valuable all season long.
Okay. Two down. Yoenis Cespedes went 0-for-5 with four strikeouts, and he has no home runs and only two doubles since July 19th. And in July, Cespedes is 3-for-36. Ew. Mm. With no extra base hits. And Ryan Howard, even though he went 2-for-5 with a double and a home run yesterday, in July he had only 3 singles before yesterday's game. Let me start with Cespedes. Are you guys worried at all about him?
No.
All right, then let me – are you, Scott?
No.
Let me move on to Howard. So he's batting .228 with 15 home runs and 55 RBI. Do you think he could go on a like batting average tear to get back up to the 250, 260 range? Because he's only had one season in his career, Ryan Howard, with the batting average under .251.
Well, here's the thing. He could go on a batting average – I don't know. It's not a tear, but a
– splurge.
A splurge. There you go. Where he does what he's done before and hits .250. But I don't think he's necessarily going to make up, you know, in the opposite direction what he's done so far.
Like, could he hit .310 over the next month?
I mean, of course he could, well, you know, but I wouldn't bet on it.
I shouldn't say could. I always say could, and it's the stupidest thing. You know, what are the chances that Ryan Howard gets really hot and stops killing you in batting average?
I think the chances are really slim.
Yeah,
he'll be.
I agree with that.
He could very easily be very okay.
Jose Quintana. He's been so good, we only need a 3-man rotation. He's going to pitch every 3 days. Quintana with a 1.51 ERA in his last 5 starts and over a strikeout per inning. Tim Hudson, bad start against Oakland at home. And Matt Garza, last 8 starts, 4-2, 2.35. Anything here?
You know what? Quintana was perfect into the 5th inning, right? Matt Garza had a no-hitter going for the first few innings. I picked both of these guys as starts on the daily league segment of the show yesterday. I don't think either of them got the win, right? I think Quintana actually took a loss.
Quintana didn't lose.
Belsario lost.
Oh, okay.
And Garza might have lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he did.
Neither of them got the win. They had no hitters going.
Yeah, they both pitched really well, though. Are these guys must starts right now? Quintana and Garza.
I don't think so, but the lesson here...
Just right now. I'm sorry. Like right now. Next couple weeks, ride this hot streak out.
No, they are hot, but I don't think they're must-starts.
The lesson here...
The lesson here for me with Quintana and Hudson is, you know, don't underrate the matchups. And actually, with Hudson, it was a case where I actually did pay attention, sufficient attention to the matchup, and had advised to sit him, not on the show, but on Twitter. But Quintana on the show, I said to sit him, but Boston's been a great matchup for pitchers lately.
Yeah, they
and I think and I terrible. And I really underrated that. So
yeah, even in Fenway Park, they just can't score. Yeah. Fringy starting pitchers, give me your top 3: Shelby Miller, Bartolo Colon, Aaron Harang, Wei-Yin Chen, Drew Smyly, David Phelps.
Oh, this is below Fringy. I'll go Smyly, Miller, and Colon. And you know I don't like Miller, so
yeah.
Yeah, Smyly, Colon, Miller.
Johan Pino had a good start yesterday. Does anyone care?
No.
It wasn't really that good.
I do not.
And Coach Uehara blew his second save.
It wasn't really that good.
Well, his whip was almost 2. So.
Yeah, it was good, but it wasn't really that good.
You know, 5 innings, 1 run is good, but 4 strikeouts.
I agree, it wasn't really that good.
Yeah, other than the ERA. All right, let's do some emails here. We're not going to do any Week 16 advice because we'll do that on Thursday. And remember, programming... We're doing Fantasy All-Stars later today. It's going to air on Monday. I've got my All-Star team that I sent to you guys to review yesterday. I'm not sure if you've done it yet. You still have time. We'll record it later, and you give me your thoughts on whether or not these guys can keep it up. Guys like Devin Mesoraco, guys like Michael Brantley. What does the second half look like for them? Here's an email from a Boston fan who didn't leave his name. Hey, Mookie, Brock, and Jackie, could you please rank these closers? Which has the most upside rest of season or any a must-add 12-team head-to-head points league? Rank these 5. Cishek, Smith, Casilla, Addison Reed, Chad Qualls. #YouJustDid?
No. I'm gonna flip Qualls and Reed. I don't think Qualls isn't getting many saves, but I don't think he's really got competition.
Wow, and I know you don't like Casilla, and I think Joe Smith is the most tenuous hold on the role. So I go Cishek, then Reed second, Casilla, Qualls, and Smith.
I would say one thing, if all these guys are available, then maybe you can pick up Joe Smith over Addison Reed just because he's pitching better now. And if he does lose the job, make the switch.
Mm. Yeah, that's fair.
Yep.
All right, Chris needs more production out of his middle infielders. He's got Gene Segura. Should I replace him temporarily with any of these guys? Please rank your top 3. Brad Miller, Enrique Hernandez, Marwin Gonzalez, DJ LeMahieu, Brandon Crawford, Alexi Amarista, and Dustin Ackley. Miller, Hernandez, and then a bunch of garbage.
Yeah, that's kind of how I was looking at it. Miller, Hernandez, and Ackley in that order.
But the only one I would even consider sitting Segura for is Miller.
Oh,
that's
not agreed.
Yeah, it's not because I'm bullish on Segura or anything. The others just stink.
Here is.
I just want to say Hernandez might not stink. You know, he was under the radar.
Yeah, right.
But he's been good so far, and, you know.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right.
Here's Zach, who is a Podcast League Ventura Ryu trader. This is the guy who gave me Ryu for Yordano Ventura yesterday. We did pull off that trade. Thank you very much, Zach. Dear Benji, Jose, and Yadier, Jose Molina is the only one playing right now, right?
That is correct.
About that. I'm in playoff position, and 4 weeks of playoffs start in 8 weeks. Can I drop Yadier Molina? It's a keeper league, and he gives us the he's a $20 keeper. It's around $280.
So, it's a one-catcher league. You know, the thing is, if he's back in 8 weeks, then you got him for the playoffs. I mean, you could, but I wouldn't really advise it.
Yeah, especially since you can keep him if you want.
Mm-hmm. Can always, you know, if it looks like he's not going to be back in 8 weeks, you can always drop him later. I'm not sure what the rush is there.
If you read down the context of his thing, to be able to have Yadier Molina available later, he would have to use a bench spot on him. He couldn't put him in a DL spot. So, it probably depends how badly you need that extra roster spot. I don't think Molina's beyond dropping, though it would be nice if you were able to hold on to him.
I also can't see he's going to have about a $270 budget. I cannot see keeping a catcher for $20. I wouldn't spend $20 on a catcher.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So from Ben Eady, approve the moves. 8-team, 30-man roster, head-to-head, 8x8 categories league. Drop Michael Morse, added J.D. Martinez.
Approved in an 8-team league. Well, a 30-man roster, but I'll still approve it.
Scott?
You know, Morse has dropped a lot, but I disapprove. Sorry.
Drop Dallas Keuchel, added Ian Kennedy.
Ugh.
I approve, particularly in a categories league.
Yeah, again, because of the depth of the league, I'll approve that.
Let's see. Got to be selective here. Nick in Connecticut. Great the trade. 10 points. 10-team points league. The Brandon Phillips owner needed a fill-in, so I give Daniel Murphy and Joe Nathan page two.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I give Daniel Murphy and Joe Nathan. I get Ian Desmond and Rex Brothers. I now have Pedroia in for Murphy and Desmond in for Lowry. So he gives up Daniel Murphy and Joe Nathan to get Ian Desmond and Rex Brothers.
I'll give that a B, particularly because it's a shallower league.
Should be closers available.
I'll say C+. He still wins it, but
all right. One more grade. The trade.
How could you skip over the guy who's doing a 50-mile bike ride? Listening to us.
All right, fine. We'll do that one.
Got to be a man of the people.
This is Mark from Mattawan, New Jersey. Dear Salt, Pepper, and Ketchup. Oh. By far the best. What?
Scott hates ketchup.
Ketchup has its uses, but like.
Yeah, he doesn't respect ketchup.
Too much of it is just gross.
Dear Salt, Pepper, and Ketchup, by far the best hot sauce on the market is Cholula. You guys got to try this stuff, and you won't go back to Frank's or anything else. All right.
That's the one with the, wooden screw-on cap, right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
If you put hot sauce, I can't
tell if it's a man or a woman on it.
I don't know, but if you put hot sauce in anything of mine, call 911.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't do hot sauce.
Okay.
My pitching staff has struggled recently. Would you drop Drew Smyly or Hiroki Kuroda to pick up Tyler Skaggs?
Kuroda, I would.
I would not. Either of them.
All right, what is this? I got to see this if it's a man or a woman. Cholula hot sauce.
Yeah, I've never really looked into that.
I've looked very closely at the label. Because I think at first glance, I assume it's a woman.
That's
but
very
then
hard.
Closer, maybe it's a man. Yeah, I don't know.
wow, Scott, I can't figure it out. Very, very girly looking guy, I think.
Yeah?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
All right, if you guys know, let us know. Email us. Have a great weekend, everybody. Have a great All-Star break. No show on Tuesday, but we will be back with a pre-recorded show on Monday. And we'll see you at Fantasy Baseball Today, noon Eastern time, live Monday through Friday.